Today, the boys will do a quick Hills West Spring Sports whip around. They'll talk Sweet 16 preview. We're ready to go. Let's do it. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Colts Corner Podcast. I'm Douglas Latuca with Benjamin Dixon, Mike Garofa, Ryan Dixon, and Constantine. How are we doing today, folks?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I'm well.
I'm ready to get going here.
Opening day of Major League Baseball.
Yanks currently up 4-0.
Correct.
Mets currently up 1-0. It's a good day.
We did a whip around earlier today. Check that out on our Apple Podcast channel. So we're going to move away from baseball. We're going to talk Sweet 16. Tonight is night number one of two of the Sweet 16 round. But before we jump into that, just wanted to do a quick spring sports preview of what's happened so far with spring sports. And our good friend, Liam Paris, just a shout out to him. Huge win yesterday.
Game-clinching win yesterday. Him and Brian Volk. I think that's his first name, Brian. He's a seventh grader.
Wow.
And, yeah.
What?
They clinched the big win yesterday with a doubles win personally for him and Brian. So congrats to them getting Hills West in the W column. And I just want to shout out, big game next Thursday. All the tennis guys are talking about it, or big match next Thursday. They play at Hills East. As of now, Hills East is the best team in that league. So expect it to be a good one. Keyshav Khanna talking up a big game. Steven Marino and I are trying to get an outing of people to go out to that one. And I'm sure we'll be at a lot of the baseball games too, Doug.
Yeah, as it was mentioned in the March print, boys tennis, Hills East and Comac are the two big squads out there, especially along with Hills West as well. So those three teams will be battling it out the whole season, and that match next week should be exciting. For other sports, Hills West baseball starts this Friday.
Hills East, right?
Hills East, yes. Non-league contest still counts towards the overall record, not towards playoff seeding is what I've been told. But it will count to the overall record, and the stats will count as well. So should be a good matchup. A lot of friends on both sides. I know East has a couple of good players there. Lost some talent last year, but they've got some seniors ready to step up. Nick Gavia going to Delphi for baseball next year, so he's a good player. I know Reese Johnson, bunch of guys over at East that I used to play with. So a lot of talent over there, and Hills West baseball in the early stages has looked pretty good. If you want to look into it more, look at the March print. We did a preview on baseball as well. We'll tell you about last year and their expectations for this year. But it should be a good year for us. Lineup shaping out pretty well, and we're figuring it out.
And Sam Goldfried over there at East, he's going to ASU as well.
Wow,
so
impressive.
Two people in this Hills District going to Arizona State. Just wanted to point that out. Used
to play baseball, Sam. Good kid. And
is it Freed or Fried?
Goldfried.
Mr. Duran told me, and I thought it was Freed.
Yeah, and just one more thing about that March print, the cover story on the back page. I caught up with Mr. Mataritona a few weeks ago. Got a nice interview there about his memoir, Last of the Red Men, inspirational story. Definitely go check that out if you haven't. And,
it was great.
Read the story at the bare minimum, you know?
Yeah, totally. Mataritona, the head coach of the girls' softball team, who's off to
2-1, correct?
Yeah, I believe they're 2-1. They had a loss yesterday, but they got off to the 2-0 start early on. Pretty talented squad. Obviously lost some superstars from last year, Jillian Weinstein being one of them. So they lost a little bit of talent, but they're looking to keep it going. Shout out Kayla Perry, top 100 player,
Beast,
according to Newsday. Mike Draskin and Aiden Tornquist for the baseball team on that top 100 list on Long Island.
That's
so Hills West getting some recognition in the newspaper. So good for them. Should be a good season all around for all sports. And we're excited for that. Boys lacrosse, I know Brian is probably watching film or something.
Yeah,
you never know.
They had a tough loss yesterday, 9-7 at West Hampton.
That's a long trek for a loss.
Supposedly the refs weren't very good. One of their best players, Luke Bloom, was ejected from the game after arguing with an official.
Yeah, I heard he threw a lacrosse stick, right?
That is what I heard, but obviously great talent. That team's got a lot of talent. And three home games next week. I'll try and make it out to at least one of them. the boys will be back with some vengeance, ready to get some dubs.
Yeah, 0-2 to start the year. But as you said, the three home games in a row, they look to get back on track. So that covers spring sports. Let's move right into the Sweet 16 preview. And we've got four games on the schedule tonight. All good matchups starting at 7 o'clock. You've got number 4 Florida State and number 1 Gonzaga. This one's interesting. Florida State out of the ACC. Gonzaga is a good team.
Yeah.
But are they good enough to beat a mediocre ACC team?
They're not Florida State.
I'm sorry, not mediocre.
I think they finished fourth in the ACC. I think Florida State's a very good ball.
Yeah, not mediocre. More like top five. They were a little shaky, finished off, and are pretty strong. They've made a big impact here in the tournament.
Yeah, I mean Florida State. I mean this was my upset pick in my bracket. I did have Florida State over Gonzaga. Gonzaga's favored by 8. Going to be a tough road here. But a guy I do want to shout out for Florida State, Mifondu Cabangeli. Don't know if I pronounce his first name correctly. But,
yeah, that looks about right. Yeah. Mifondu.
Yeah, that looks about right.
No, but Cabangeli's on my college basketball fantasy team that I do with my dad for the tournament based on points. Not trying to get into all that right now. But he shoots over 50% from the field. He's a legitimate NBA prospect, in my opinion. Comes off the bench, leads the team in scoring. Great athlete, number 25 for the Seminoles. You can catch him out there. Florida State's a very deep squad. And for Gonzaga, I mean,
just
you can't talk
banger
about
names.
Yeah, you can't talk about him without talking about Rui Achimura, who is one of the best players in the country. Him and Brandon Clark make up a pretty good duo for Gonzaga. Gonzaga, one of the most offensively efficient teams in the country, so should be a great matchup tonight. Very excited.
Go
ahead.
I've had a Gonzaga as my winner, so I'm obviously rooting for them. Man, two really, those are pretty interesting names there. But you got to love Rui. He's got 60% up for his field goal percentage, which is even better than, I don't even want to try and pronounce the other guy's name, but that's pretty good. I'll try to tune into this one. This year, Ben was able to swing me into the March Madness. Yeah, so I'm excited for it. I'm looking forward to the last stretch here.
Yeah, Gonzaga 32-3 in the West Coast Division. They finished first, and they just beat Baylor. They had a 12-point win in the round of 32.
Game was never really close, though.
But yep.
Constantine, go ahead.
Gonzaga's pretty much going to control this Florida State game, I think. I think it's based on all on their best players and just how they play. Gonzaga obviously can never really bring it home, but this year I think really the ball's in their court and they really have a shot.
Yeah, expect the game tonight to be pretty high scoring. Total of 148 points right now.
Yeah.
So should be up in the higher 70s.
Yeah, but I don't like that spread. I don't like that 8-point spread. Gonzaga's going to win by 8. I honestly think, I agree with you, Ben, I do believe that I do believe that FSU will win this game and Gonzaga will be going home.
What was my upset pick? I mean, I got to stay with it.
Totally.
But I like Florida State to keep it close.
But I don't think it's hopefully that much of an upset. Compared to what they did last round, like they dominated Baylor.
Yeah, I mean, it's a 1-4 matchup, but Florida State playing in the ACC, it's tough.
They got some athletes.
Yeah,
I mean, Florida State's a legit team. Didn't mean to call them mediocre, just saying.
I mean, they also
dominated
Murray State.
Sometimes the team at the top of the division, the very top, like Gonzaga, in a weaker division compared to a team that is
totally
at the top five, sometimes that ACC team could just go to work against a weaker division team like Gonzaga, which has happened in the past. Going off your point, as they haven't been able to close it out or get that big W. So Gonzaga, Florida State starts us off 7:09 start. Game 2 on the slate. Number 2 Tennessee going up against number 3 Purdue. That starts at 7:30, and I think we're in for a great game.
Oh, that's an electric game, Ben. You got anything to say about that?
Well, yeah. I mean, Tennessee is in my Final Four. I know Ryan hasn't winning it at all. ESPN BPI's got that matchup pretty much split right down the middle. Purdue with a 50.6% chance to win that one. I mean, I like Tennessee in this one. I think Admiral Schofield, great name, great player.
Yeah.
He's really been clutch for Tennessee as of late. Didn't play late in that Iowa game, which is interesting. Took some leadership and decided that the team was better off with Kyle Alexander in the game, and it turned out that they were. But in that first round matchup against Colgate, I think he hit 2 or 3 threes down the stretch. That was a one possession game down the stretch, and he iced that game. But the combination of Schofield and Grant Williams, I think it's going to be too much for Purdue. Carson Edwards is a great guard, but one thing to do that you should keep an eye on, Purdue, they got two real big men with Matt Harms and Travion Williams. Tennessee is more of like a forward-based team. They don't have that bona fide seven-foot big guy. So it should be an interesting matchup down low, and we'll see what happens. I like Tennessee tonight, but we'll see.
And you also, another thing to note here is that Purdue has made it to the to this round four times since Matt Painter has been the coach, and they haven't made it out of it at all with him being the coach. So they've got a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. I'm sure they're going to try to break that curse here. But Tennessee is a very good team. I have Tennessee here winning this one, but I think it'll be a really good matchup.
Yeah, Tennessee, as Ben mentioned, 83-77 win over Iowa. You had some Tennessee fans biting their nails at the end of that one.
They were up 25 at one point. What? It was a choke job.
But what a game. I mean,
great game.
If you don't love college basketball, as I say about a lot of sports, if you don't love this sport and you see one of the games like that, you really just fall in love, you know? It's just the magic of a sport. Just takes over, down 25, ties it up, goes to overtime. But unfortunately, Tennessee got the win. Fortunately for me, but unfortunately for Iowa, who is now out of the tournament. So the Boilermakers against Tennessee tonight. The Volunteers, and that's game two on the schedule. Game three, Michigan at number two and Texas Tech number three. Texas Tech hot right now. Michigan had that that first round win against Montana. Knew that they would get that one. That was the second year in a row that they've got that matchup.
Yeah, very interesting there. But
so they got that win, and this game is setting up. I mean, this whole round is setting up to be
great.
Really special.
I think you're going to see a big contrast, though, with the two late games opposed to the two early ones in FSU, Gonzaga, and Purdue, Tennessee. Texas Tech, Michigan, and Virginia, Oregon are going to be defensive battles. But you look at Texas Tech, Michigan, Jarrett Culver, Texas Tech's best player. He averages 18.8 per game. This guy's a legit NBA prospect. He will be picked in the lottery, maybe top 10. And Texas Tech has got some athletes for a very good defensive team. And Michigan's also, I think they were the second best defensive team in the country all year, behind Virginia statistically. They got some guys that can make plays too. Iggy Brazdeikis, the star freshman, Xavier Simpson with his new signature hook shot, and Charles Matthews has been known to step up for them come tournament time. So this should be a great game, similar styles of play. Michigan's in my Final Four, so I like Michigan, but should be a grinded out type of game, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it should be an overwhelmingly defensive contest here. Both teams, obviously, like you mentioned, like Michigan, number two in defense. I wouldn't focus on the scoring this game. I would more focus on, if I were both teams, just making sure that their opponents shut down, putting the ball in the basket. You don't have to make anything fancy. You just got to make sure you score, but more importantly, just make sure you lock down your opponent. That's how you're going to win this game.
Yeah, me, obviously, I got to come in with the stats here. The points per game for both sides are relatively low. Texas Tech with 73.2 average and Michigan with 70.6. But their points against are very, very low. Texas Tech has only allowed 57.5 and Michigan with 52. So that's really, really good. And, I mean, all around, it's been very defensive. As you guys have all said, this is going to be a very defensive game. And it should be a relatively low-scoring one if they play the way that they should.
Yeah, Michigan held Montana to 55 points and Florida to only 49 points.
They really controlled that game against Florida.
Oh, yeah, they completely dominated from start to finish. And for Texas Tech, they only gave up 57 points to Northern Kentucky in the game.
58 to Buffalo.
Yeah, in their first matchup, and then only 58 to Buffalo. So defensive battle for game three on our schedule, and it should be a really good one. I mean, both teams coming in playing really good basketball, and this is what you love to see in March. So it should be exciting. The late game, starting at around 10 o'clock, you've got number 12 Oregon, who's somewhat of a Cinderella-ish story at the 12 spot, probably seeded a little bit higher at 12, probably could have been a lower seed with the way that they were playing against number one Virginia, who's been scaring some people during this tournament,
definitely.
Like they do quite often.
Yeah, I mean, Oregon's a team that's definitely a lot better than their seeding says. They did finish sixth in the Pac-12 and won the Pac-12 tournament to get in, but they've been playing unreal basketball. Obviously, they lost Bol Bol early on with a foot injury. But Peyton Pritchard and Louis King have really carried the rules. Peyton Pritchard, another guy on my fantasy team, very fun to watch. Clutch threes everywhere. And obviously Virginia, they got DeAndre Hunter, the definite lottery pick, along with that backcourt of Kyle Guy and Ty Jerome. But for this game, obviously two, again, very good defensive teams. The over-under is only set at 120.5, which is basically saying first to 60 wins this game.
Wow.
And But for Oregon, great defensive team. But their big guy, Doug, me and you were talking about it, Kenny Wooten, seven blocks last game. One of the best athletes I've ever seen on a basketball court. That guy can jump out of a building.
Yeah, I got to go to practice quick, so I just want to put my input in. Oregon has won 10 straight games. As you said, they won the Pac-12 championship.
As hot as any team in America.
And there you go.
Oregon, extremely athletic team, in my opinion. I think Virginia is known for being choke artists in the tournament, and there's a possibility that Oregon wins this game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great game. I just think, but I think Virginia's going to get the win. It could be the best game of the day, honestly.
I think so.
All these games have the opportunity of being the best game of the day. But I think that this one is, in particular, is a great matchup. Oregon red hot, as I said. Virginia usually lets teams stick around, and eventually they close the door. So hoping Virginia gets that win for my bracket, but I would not be surprised if Oregon got the win.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I think that game's going to be a lot closer than expected. Doug, see you later. Mike, do we have any topics of the week here? Potentially?
Yeah, we do. We can have one. I just wanted to give one bit of input on the Oregon game. Oregon was able to upset UC Irvine and Wisconsin. Obviously, UC Irvine not. Actually, that wasn't an upset, but
They did upset Wisconsin though.
Yeah, right. That was a big upset for them. I mean, they're really riding high right now. If I'm an Oregon fan, I've got to feel really good because it is. They're on a really big high, and I think it's going to be a really good game to watch. So we're only going to go for one because
sounds good.
I really don't have any more topics of the week. We got to get on that.
During the seventh period, we'll think of some more questions.
Yeah, we have to try and do that because I only have two here. We could do both if we want. But the first one here is, should kids be allowed to use their phones or iPads at the dinner table in public? Let me just say, watching parents let their kids be on their phones or iPads in public, like I'll be out to dinner or lunch and their kids are just sitting there and I'm like, well, like, what are you doing? Like, come on, you're at a family meal. Why are you letting your kid do this? I don't know. It bothers me. I would never let my kid do that.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Mike. Like when I see that at restaurants, it grosses me out. Sort of like it's kind of nasty because to let your kid do that, it's kind of rude, disrespectful. You want them to pay attention. You want to have a good time at dinner. And for you to have your phone out, it's rude.
Yeah, I'm a bit biased because my parents never let me use my electronics at the dinner table when I was really when I was little. But I don't think that kids should be doing that. I think that it really just takes away from the meal. People aren't really there. Like Ryan said, it grosses me out. I don't think that that's a good parenting technique, or if they call it that. I would personally not do that or let anyone do that.
Ben?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what everyone said. We can move on to the next question. Not really much more for me to put my input there, but let's go with your final question in your notes for
the final one, wrapping up the topic of the week that I've had. I mean, I've had these done for like 2-3 months now, and we're out. If you could pick one mythical creature to exist, like zombies or vampires, and you couldn't die from them, what would you pick?
One mythical creature. Yeah, you guys can take it first.
I got to figure this one.
Wait, repeat the question, please.
If you could pick one mythical creature to exist, for example, a zombie or a vampire, like a dragon, and you couldn't die from them, what would you pick?
Does it have to be something that's harmful? Or?
No.
Okay.
I mean, does it have to be mythical or just non-existent?
Non-existent.
I'm going to choose a T-Rex because, like, why not, you know? I mean, obviously not a mythical creature. I'm pretty sure there's some proof that they existed way back in the day, but... If I could have a pet T-Rex and he's not going to hurt me or hurt anyone else, it's a pretty sick thing.
It is.
It's a sick flex. I mean, anyone can come over and see my pet T-Rex and we'll go with T-Rex.
Weird flex, but okay.
No, that's not even weird. That's just a sick flex.
Yeah, but I want to see what Mike has to say to that because you came up with a question. I want to hear it.
I'm going to go for zombies because I've always been a guy who loved playing Call of Duty zombies. So I would love to be able to just round up like just a group of zombies, just go at it. Because I mean, when we were younger, I would play that game. I was always like, you know, I wonder what it would be like if this actually was real. You know, I wonder how it would do.
I'd probably have to say like maybe any type of Pokemon.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I watch Pokemon. Not really mythical creatures. Mythical in the sense that a group of men in Japan came up with it way back in the 1990s. I want to say, but. I do have to say that it would be pretty, it would be a sick flex, for me to just...
Hey, Pikachu, come here.
Yeah, we have Pikachu.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah, Pikachu, so I'd have to go with that.
All right, so, mine's probably gonna be a dragon. I mean, just imagine, like, showing your friends, like, yo, I got a pet dragon. I'm gonna fly.
What's his name?
Henry. Henry the Dragon.
Henry the Dragon. Interesting.
I'm going to fly to Disney World.
Now, that's a weird flex, but okay.
Yeah, weird flex.
It's a dope flex, but okay. Okay. It's really cool. I mean, to fly wherever you want, whenever you want, Pet Dragon's the move.
It's the American dream.
Yeah, but like Ben could just hop on a T-Rex's back and just run.
Yeah, I mean
me, I'm just not doing anything.
I mean, I'm pretty sure if you fly, it's faster than running, but okay, Mike.
Yeah, but like those dragons are pretty big. You're gonna fly off.
All right, so that'll do it for us this week. Some pretty good questions there, Mike. We'll get on some more. But as always, we'd like to thank the following people: Mr. Doxy, Mr. Ashudi, Dr. Canapano, and the administration, the Board of Education, our audience who listens every Thursday. And finally, a thank you to the class of 2016 for their very generous donation towards our podcast setup. No Brian today. He's watching some lax film. Doug left early to participate in some baseball practice. But I'm Ben Dixon alongside Constantine, Ryan Dixon, Michael Garaffa. Check out the MLB Whip Rounds from this week. Check out the print edition that just came out of the roundup. And we'll see you next week.